T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Willie P filling in for Randy McMichael for one last day. Randy be back for Happy Hour Friday tomorrow. Again, giving him praise for that every day this week, rightfully so. He's a genius. He'll be back, and we won't all drink for 4 hours, but many of you out there will, and good for you. Have a Happy Hour Friday. A lot more to get to here in the next 3 hours on a Thursday, though, including Joe Patrick going to join us in about 25 minutes. To talk some Braves, man. Nice to see the Braves get back home last night, get a win, and Freddie Freeman break out of the slump a little bit. And I thought one of the things that we saw last night, Will, with the Braves was such a great example of, like, just being patient. Just be patient. Yeah. I know it's very difficult as a sports fan, and we want everything right now. And if a guy isn't immediately amazing, then you're done with him. But, like, Austin Riley has gotten better. He's gotten better at defense, and seeing what Austin Riley did last night in the ninth inning, that play that he made to end the game, I didn't know he could do that. Honestly, yeah. I didn't know that Austin Riley had a glove like that, but also he's a 22-year-old kid. Like, a lot of these guys are really young, and we're going to see them improve. It can be hard sometimes because you want everyone to be immediately amazing and live up to the hype that they've all been given. And, you know, when they come up to the bigs, okay, be ready or not. And if you're not there yet, then we're going to move on from you. So many people moved on from Dansby Swanson over the last couple of years that if the Braves made their franchise decisions, were you based on the knee-jerk reactions of many of us, I don't know who would even play for the team right now. Dansby looks really good right now. Austin Riley's defense looks really good right now. Patience can be a virtue as a sports fan, as hard as it is.
We talked about it yesterday, them getting home. It was something that we'd mentioned about how, even though there wouldn't be any fans in the stands, the whole thing about routine was, I think, something that we certainly valued. And it did just look more comfortable. And I also don't think you can underrate this aspect. The pitcher that they faced yesterday, Charlie Morton, is a guy, you know, with a rep. He's a guy who you have a book on. And even though you didn't have a lot of guys who might have faced him in the past because he plays in the opposite league, he is somebody who has a detailed scouting report. A lot of these other guys are that they faced on the Rays are younger pitchers that they haven't seen. And so because of that, it's a situation where if you don't know what's coming, it can be very, very difficult. So I think the Braves, the combined comfort of being at home and knowing a guy like Morton who has a rep, they were able to settle down, settle in, and have a much better approach yesterday, and that led to the win.
Well, you also saw them be a lot more comfortable with the bullpen, the Rays bullpen, which is a talented bullpen, no doubt. And one of the reasons why the Rays are a favorite to make a run in the postseason this year. But when they got into their bullpen those first two games, I mean, they're like you said, they're throwing young guys at you that you've never seen before. Not only that, maybe I'm just overreacting to this, but it seemed like every bullpen pitcher for the Rays throws weird and a different type of weird. Like, they got submarine guys out there. They got a guy who's right-handed that basically has pitches that approach you like he's left-handed. He's standing
crossfire
on the left.
Crossfire guys.
Yeah, I mean, they got all kinds of different weird wind-up release point pitchers out there in their bullpen. And the first time you see that, I mean, it's difficult to adjust to. Well, then you see all those guys for the second time last night, and it's no surprise you get Kitteridge to give up 2 earned runs in an inning. You get Drake to give up an earned run in an inning. You get to Alvarado, and he's got to throw 32 pitches, and then they take him out of the game. Like, the Braves were a lot more comfortable because they knew the guys that they were going up against. That will be a benefit playing all of the same teams all season long. Many of the teams you know because they're already in your division. The Rays aren't aren't one of those teams, but you could see the Braves making those adjustments last night. And good, it's good to get a win. 7-4 last night. The Braves are back to 3-3. They're at home again tonight. Max Fried is on the mound, and hopefully they can get another one. We'll talk to Joe Patrick about all that coming up in about 20 minutes. The Wendy Zone at 11:40, as always. We'll get to Wendy Adams at 11:40. Before we get there, though, let's kick off the 11 o'clock hour with an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool, get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. And we've been kind of talking about this, not that much, but knowing that it existed for the last couple of weeks, the NFL Top 100 list has come out, and they made all of their picks from 100 all the way down to 1. And we'll get into some of the top five picks in just a minute, but Matt Ryan was not listed. Matt Ryan did an interview yesterday. We'll let you hear more of what he had to say, Falcons-related, in the 12 o'clock hour. But here's Matt Ryan on the NFL 100 list.
That kind of stuff doesn't, you know, change my day, right? Like, it's never been, for me, bulletin board material or anything like that. I know what I can do. You know, I know what I'm capable of doing. And I feel like, you know, every week I give our team a great chance to win. And you know, if we get the ball late in the game, I know I have what it takes to finish it out. So I don't worry about that stuff. I just focus on trying to do the job the best I can.
Pretty much how I feel. I mean, who cares? Some random arbitrary vote where sometimes Matt Ryan is in it. Sometimes Matt Ryan's in the top 20. Sometimes Matt Ryan's not listed at all. 1 year, Tim Tebow was in the top 100 and Matt Ryan wasn't. This year, Josh Allen is in the top 100 and Matt Ryan isn't. It's ridiculous. I tend to have that approach to it that Matt Ryan has. It's not going to change my day. But I also know that it sort of plays into the, I don't know, I don't want to call it a narrative because I do think this is actually true. But it adds to the conversation about the Falcons and Atlanta athletes in general being disrespected by the national media. Now, this is not the national media. Again, this is other NFL players voting on who they think are the best player. Like, I do think that Atlanta teams and Atlanta athletes get slept on by the national media. I think that happens a lot. I don't know why. I honestly don't. But it does happen. But this is not one of those things that I get worked up about.
I mean, it's very hard for our teams to get juice. It's not just the Falcons. It's the Braves. It's any other team. Heck, even Atlanta United struggled to get respect off the bat, and then they ended up having to win a championship to make that happen. So it's very difficult to see that happen time and time again. But it's also part of the reason why you see Dan Quinn say a lot of the things that he says and tries to use the motivating tactics that he has, you know, about the brotherhood and we're the forgotten, we're not the team that people think of when you automatically think of a team that's elite. I mean, I even look at the fact that Julio Jones was left out of the top 10 in the NFL Top 100. He's 11 behind Derrick Henry, Stephon Gilmore, and DeAndre Hopkins. You know, it's difficult, and I understand that people love to obsess about these lists. I think it's a lot of just white noise to me.
Yeah, and look, we understand the things that make a difference for those guys' rankings. I mean, if the Falcons are winning, then they get more respect. If the Falcons are 7-9, then it's not a very short trip to the Falcons being a preseason favorite, to the Falcons being out of sight, out of mind. We've seen that the last couple of years. Like, there are certain teams in the NFL that, whether they're good or not, they're going to get covered. The Cowboys are going to get covered. If they're 3-13, they're going to get covered. The Packers are going to get covered no matter what's going on. The Patriots at this point are going to, like, there's just a handful of teams that exist like that, and we're not one of them. The Falcons aren't one of those teams. In order for the Falcons to get that respect from people outside the city, they got to win football games. Now, let's also be honest, though, about some of that lack of respect or what Dan Quinn is saying, forgotten, slept on, whatever. They've been 7-9 the last 2 years. Like, it's not like they've been blowing doors off people and not getting respect they deserve. They've been out of the playoffs and underperforming the last two seasons. So if you want to get paid attention to in national TV games and respect and whatever, like all those things that we talk about, you know, as far as that narrative goes, is a very simple solution. Live up to the hype. Like, live up to the to the talent that you have on paper. I think they can do that this year. I hope that they can do that this year. They've got it talent-wise, but they've had it talent-wise the last couple of years, and they haven't. So it's a very simple thing. If the Falcons go to the Super Bowl this year, Matt Ryan won't be left out of the top 100.
Absolutely not.
I'll give you a guarantee on that one. Now, as for the rest of the top five, again, not getting worked up about it, but I am surprised to see Patrick Mahomes at number four.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes had his little emoji tweet where he's like writing down and taking notes. Russell Wilson's number one. Russell Wilson's really good. Lamar Jackson's number two. Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league last year. Aaron Donald's number three. Aaron Donald should probably be number one every single year, or number two if it's not Patrick Mahomes right now. I was a little surprised to see Patrick Mahomes at number four. I would have voted Patrick Mahomes number one if I was given a vote.
I would have at least had him one or two, I would say that, even though, you know, I understand the impact of Aaron Donald, but I do believe that having Donald above Mahomes seems a little weird. And even, like I said, you know, Russell Wilson had probably the best first half of the season that anybody had when it comes to the way that he played, and then it just kind of tapered off. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, lots of regular season prowess, but nothing to show for it in the postseason.
Oh, I had it backwards. I'm sorry. Lamar Jackson was number one, and Russell Wilson was number two.
I wasn't going to get you, but I was going to let it. Just going to let it lay.
And Aaron Donald was number three. Now, I will say this: like, I do think that that speaks to a different conversation about those guys, though.
Yeah.
Like, the narrative shift on those individuals, and Patrick Mahomes too, but the narrative on him was just no one really knew who he was, and people thought, not that they knew who he was, but people thought that the Chiefs made a reach to go up and get him. Clearly they were wrong. But Lamar Jackson's narrative coming into the NFL, not everybody thought he was going to end up being the number one ranked player in this player list. And Russell Wilson, even after he was in the league for 5 years, if I had, and I know this is a previous life where I lived in different cities and talked about different teams more specifically, but if I had a dollar for every word I had to say trying to convince people that Russell Wilson was a quote elite quarterback, I'd be very rich. Will, I'd be a very rich man.
Are you saying that Russ was as underappreciated? You're saying Russ was as underappreciated in Seattle as Matt is in Atlanta?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like,
wow.
And it was it finally changed. And again, I don't know what changed it, but it took a really long time. I mean, this argument about it, and I don't know why, because the defense was good, I guess, or because Marshawn Lynch was good. I'm not sure. But anyway, the talented quarterbacks getting the respect that they deserve. The NFL 100 list is out. Grady Jarrett was on it. That's cool. Grady Jarrett got some respect from around the league. We talked about this yesterday. It continues to be a story today. Vic Beasley didn't report on day two either of reporting to get tested by the Tennessee Titans.
Where is he?
Sounds to me like nobody's heard from him. And it goes from kind of being a weird story to being a little concerning. Like, I know last year he didn't show up for OTAs for the Falcons, but at least there was a communication that he wasn't going to be there. Right?
Right.
It was frustrating, and that was it, basically. That was the last straw. Like, you know, Dan Quinn puts his rep on the line to say that he's going to fix you, and then you don't show up to OTAs. It's not a good look. But this is different. Like, this is training camp. I know they're not practicing, but this is training camp. They signed him to a contract. Like, this isn't a holdout. You got a one-year deal from the Titans. I don't know what's going on with Vic Beasley right now. And, you know, somebody hopefully will talk to him in the next couple of days. But I'll be honest, it's a little bit concerning. Like, hopefully everything's okay with Vic Beasley.
I'm just selfish. I just want that fifth round compensatory pick. That's all. I mean, am I selfish? Do I feel bad if I basically say I just wanted to report and just let it all happen? Is that bad of me?
No. I mean, we all want him to get there. It would be it would be kind of a fitting, like, final chapter or footnote or whatever you would want to call it of the Vic Beasley era in Atlanta, for him to never report to Tennessee and cost the Falcons the fifth round compensatory pick.
That's some all-time petty stuff right there.
Just one last, oh, great. Thanks, Vic. We appreciate it on the way out. But yeah, I think more than that, just, you know, show up. Hopefully you're okay.
Right.
Whatever the hell's going on with you, hopefully there's nothing too bad going on. Falcons had a couple more players added to the reserve/COVID-19 list yesterday. Keith Smith, the fullback, and safety Jamal Carter were both added to that list. Hopefully, just like we said with Jalen Hawkins, hopefully they're okay. Hopefully they recover quickly, and they can be a part of training camp when they get those two negative tests. Another guy opted out as well. We've got Damian Williams deciding to opt out of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know Brian Gebhardt and fantasy football owners everywhere are very upset about this decision.
Mm-hmm. brings a lot of attention now to the guy they just drafted, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They were very high on him, probably a lot higher on him just because of the offense they played. I mean, they look at him the same way they look at Brian Westbrook and that old Andy Reid offense in Philadelphia. But having Damian Williams there would have certainly helped him at least at the start. But now all squarely are the eyes on the LSU or former LSU running back.
What does that do to Edwards-Helaire's fantasy draft stock, Brian? How early can you take him now?
Oh, he's easily a first-round pick right now.
Ooh, look at that. Brian Gephardt. I think we're going to have a two-dude same fantasy podcast next week as well. Brian is teasing. So, Joe Patrick going to join us next. We'll talk some Braves, maybe get an Atlanta United question in there as well with Smoke and Joe. Joins us early on a Thursday. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. Randy going to be back tomorrow. The vacation has come to an end, but I don't know. People follow Randy on Twitter. I'm sure they do. He's been very media member his entire vacation, tweeting it, like live tweeting it, basically. Very millennial media member of Randy. There was an earthquake in Southern California today, which is where they're flying out of. And apparently everything's all right. It's a 4.2 or something like that. Us West Coasters talk very callously about earthquakes as if a 4.2 isn't also terrifying. But 4.2, whatever. It's like a little burp.
I've never, knock on wood, done an earthquake. Never had an earthquake situation
it's
happen.
It's really scary. The weird thing about an earthquake is you don't realize it's an earthquake until it's over, pretty much. Like,
right.
Because at first it's like, oh, is that a big truck? Oh, God, did something explode? What's going on? Because normally they don't last that long. I mean, 30 seconds is kind of a long time for an earthquake. A lot of times it's just a little rumble, unless it's a really bad one. But when I was a junior in high school, we had probably the biggest earthquake we've had in Seattle in the last 30 or 40 years. And I was in woodshop class. And the protocol is, you get under the desk, right? Like you get underneath the desk, you cover your head. I don't know if growing up you had earthquake drills, but we did earthquake drills all the time. There's no desks in a woodshop class. There's workbenches, but there's also saws and blades and things hanging on the, like, really dangerous stuff, paint cans. And the woodshop teacher goes, "Everybody out!" and like sprinted out the back door. And so we all followed him because he's the teacher. Like, we're running out of the building, which is a terrible thing to do. Like, it's an old brick building. Things could have been falling. Anyway, we got outside and everything was okay. But by the time we got outside, it was still going on. And literally, you could see the ground like a wave. Like a wave was pulsating in the earth. It was very...
Not good.
Very scary. Anyway, everything's okay. And everything's okay with Randy, too. He'll be back tomorrow. The earthquake didn't get him. We'll get to Wendy coming up in 15 minutes for the Wendy Zone, but an early edition of Smokin' Joe Patrick. So let's get to Joe.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts Andy and Randy at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Joe Patrick joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, as he does every Tuesday and Thursday, usually at 1:20. Joe and Will, along with our buddy Caleb Johnson, also make up the Batter Up podcast. It's available on 92.9thegame.com and where
you
get all of your podcasts. You check that out as well. They cover the Braves very thoroughly. Joe, a lot going on with the Braves. Nick Markakis is back. What about that?
Yeah, who would have thunk it, right? It's kind of a heartwarming thing after how dour the news was when he made the announcement a day after the players had their intake and got summer camp started again. I think it'll be a big boost to this team from an emotional perspective for that reason. He's a guy, we talked about it all when it went down initially, but he's that guy who's the Iron Man. He's the guy that young players look up to in terms of how he gets himself prepared for games every day and how he goes about his business and really sets a professional attitude in that clubhouse. And so I think that it will be a big boost just for that. But also the fact that he brings that left-handed bat that, of course, the Braves, seem very interested in trying to, get as many of those in there as they can to try to balance the lineup when they have the flexibility to do so. So, yeah, I think he'll be a big addition. Everybody that we talked to last night after the game is happy to have him back, and I think that the Braves will be better off for it.
best you can tell, Joe, what is the procedure from here? How does he go about getting back on the team?
So from what I understand, he's essentially, you could think of him as being a player that's on an injury list. He's on some sort of restricted list right now. And essentially it will be up to him and the Braves as to when they want to activate him, and he will have to go right onto the active roster. And of course, when that happens, that will mean they would need to make some other move to move a guy off the active roster and send them to Gwinnett. But he will be able to come back as soon as he feels like he's ready. He says he doesn't know how long it's going to be before he feels like he's ready to put himself in a game-type situation. So he'll need probably a week or so, I would think, at least, to get himself seeing some live pitching and getting himself ready to go. But then it will just be a matter of when the Braves and Markakis decide they want to pull that trigger.
I didn't know that you could do what he did. I didn't know that you could make the decision to not play and then change your mind and then make the decision. Like, are other teams dealing with this? Is baseball ready for other guys to maybe make this decision as well?
I honestly did not know either, Andy. And like, you had put it out on Twitter asking.
I didn't want to call you out for that, but I know you didn't.
No. Like, it seems like it's one of those rules that was flying under the radar, I guess. I mean, I think it took a lot of people by surprise yesterday that this was even a potential possibility that could happen. So yeah, I mean, who knows how many other players around baseball have submitted an application like Markakis. And I would have to think that Major League Baseball is looking at players who did decide to opt out right in those first early days when they saw the protocols that were in place and how things were going to go down. It seems like Major League Baseball would acquiesce more to accepting those based on what we've seen from Markakis, because I don't understand, it's not really clear as to what the parameters are in terms of accepting or denying these requests. But it seems like that would be an indication that some of these other players could potentially come back. We don't know any of players who have, who have submitted their request for reentry, if there are any more. But I would probably think there are more around baseball who are trying to get back in.
92.9 The Game, Braves insider Joe Patrick joining us on the midday show. Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Aside from a little blow up from Darren O'Day last night, Joe, Braves looked like the team that we thought they were going to look like in 2020. How do you explain it?
Yeah, you know, going down to play in Tampa Bay on the road, when you've been on the road for three games to open the season, and then you go to play in that really funky place in Tampa Bay in that weird dome that they've got down there. I think that kind of maybe threw off the feng shui of the team a little bit, if you want to say, because they came back obviously and beat the same team pretty handily, and everybody looked much better when they came back home and were in the friendly confines of Truist Park. So I think that it was just a matter of they seemed tired to me. Just talking to them after seeing them after these games in Tampa Bay, they just looked pretty exhausted, especially Brian Snicker, and I'm sure that he's kind of representative of a lot of the team there. So I think they were just happy to get back home, and I think that now is a really opportune time for the Braves to try to put together a role here while they've got a long homestand. You want to get out ahead of things as soon as you can this season, give yourself some comfort before things get really dicey in the middle of the season with this shortened schedule. So I think they've got an opportunity here to maybe give themselves some distance, especially with the Mets, who they will have played, seven times against each other here in the early portion of the season.
Even though Brian Snitker told us he was going to do this, whenever he takes Mike Soroka out of the game early, especially when the bullpen gives up runs, as they have in the two times he's taken him out early this year, people get mad about it. When can we expect Mike Soroka to be allowed to go deeper in games? Because I mean, clearly Mike Soroka was pitching well yesterday, 82 pitches, they take him out. How long do you think it is before they kind of stretch him out?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll start to see a natural progression from here. I wouldn't be surprised if his next time out he goes maybe 90 pitches or so. Of course, it all depends on the situation. And when he was taken out, he, had put a couple runners on base there. So I know the way I took that substitution, that release, that Brian Snicker decided to go to, was just his trust in the bullpen. Of course, O'Day kind of gave up some runs there, which kind of backfired. But Brian Snicker has been talking about how he thinks that this bullpen is one of the strengths of the team. And especially when you get a guy like A.J. Minter coming back, we saw him last night again pitch a flawless inning, looking amazing, looking like better maybe than what we saw from A.J. Minter in 2018. if he can provide, if he can produce his best year of his career this year, it's going to be a huge, massive boost to the Braves because, you know, the bullpens across baseball are going to be so important this year. So to have a guy like Minter who's got a real strikeout stuff and he, it looks like he's finally healthy, that's going to be a huge boost for the Braves.
Joe, we talked about it a little bit on Batter Up. We talked about it also on the air with the Folty departure, or at least departure for now. There's a big gaping hole in the Braves' rotation. Obviously, we see Freed tonight, Nuke tomorrow, and then what happens on Saturday?
Yeah, it's a great question. We still don't know, and I imagine that in the next day or two, we will learn more about who's going to start that game. Tuki Toussaint's been a guy who's been floated out there as a potential, not necessarily a starter who's going to pitch a starter, you know, give you an outing like one of these regular starters, but maybe be kind of like a pseudo opener style. That's something that Brian Snicker brought up unprompted when he was asked about who would fill Folty's role in the rotation last night after the DFA announcement was made. So Tukey's an option. You also have Yoelis Chacin, who's an option that the Braves picked up late here in summer camp. And you've got Josh Tomlin, of course. If he's not used in these next couple games, I would think that he would definitely be an option as well. And I know Brian Snicker just really likes Josh Tomlin because he's a guy who's going to go out there and throw strikes and give the defense a chance to work behind him. And the Braves are a good defensive team. So I think that all three of those guys are looking like realistic options right now. I think it'll be pretty telling to see if any of these guys come in a relief situation over these next couple games.
Joe, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Joe Patrick there, our Braves and Atlanta United insider, joining us early because Stephen Glass, the interim manager for Atlanta United, is going to have a press conference later this
Glassy.
Afternoon. He's also going to join Dukes and Bell later on today as well. So potentially your first chance, if you've never heard him before, which I haven't, to hear from Stephen Glass. Glassy, he's Scottish, so I'm looking forward to a fun accent. I don't know if it's true or not, but hopefully. I'm hopeful for a fun accent. We'll come back. We'll get to Wendy Adams. It's time for the Wendy Zone. Fun will be had by all, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
It's the Wendy Zone every single day at 11:40 on the midday show with Andy and Randy, 20 minutes away from the most important audio in the world, and a minor Vic Beasley update out of Tennessee.
Minor.
We'll get to that in 20 minutes as well. Minor, not major, minor. We'll get to there in 20 minutes. Before we do that, though, it's time for Wendy. Hey, Wendy.
Wendy. How's it going, guys? Well, Andy, I will definitely stick around because I want to know this minor detail with Vic Beasley because Vic Beasley just in mid-season form. So
if you didn't stick around 20 minutes from now, that'd be such a bummer.
Very bad.
He's like, I don't care what you guys are doing at noon. I quit.
I mean, I could just like walk to the kitchen, leave the phone in the other room.
That's true.
Just
start
walk
drinking.
Away for a minute.
No, you could start drinking.
No, but I'm... That was too much last night. But yeah, I'll stick around for that Vic Beasley news. But guys, we've been doing it for the last 2 weeks, so I'm just going to have Brian go ahead and play the intro.
NBA Bubble Burst, the latest news popping out of Orlando.
So we're finally going to start getting real games down in Orlando as the NBA is in their bubble at the Walt Disney World Resorts. Now, when the NBA and the NBAPA ultimately settled on the bubble setup, it meant that some players could be living in this bubble for up to 4 months. So that's a lot of time to be living in a hotel room. So players have gone above and beyond to make their accommodations pretty comfortable. So I don't know if you guys knew this, but in the NBA bubble, there's an entire delivery center where packages players are ordering are cleansed and then sent to the room. So that's not the weird part, that there would be a delivery center. The weird part, though, is what these dudes are ordering. So Rachel Nichols of ESPN did a segment called The Jump, and on The Jump, she sort of laid out what these players are ordering. You ready for this?
Yeah.
A couch. Mm.
Ooh.
A whole couch. Arcade games. Okay. Boxing equipment.
Okay.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars in Amazon orders. And this one, guys, really stuck out to me. A full-size refrigerator. Not one of those little mini bar refrigerators. I'm talking full-on refrigerator with a freezer. You can put all your food in there. So one anonymous NBA player ordered a full-size fridge for their hotel room.
Who's the most likely player to have ordered the fridge?
I know. I'm trying to figure it out.
If it's Zion, right? Like,
you think?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm making weight jokes about Zion, which is not very nice. Low-hanging fruit.
He's lost some weight.
That's what they say. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see. He's supposed to play tonight. He's a game-time decision, by the way, as the Pelicans and Jazz are the restart game for the NBA down in the bubble. If there's ever been a more guaranteed yes on a game-time decision, it's
yes,
Zion Williamson
him.
Tonight. He is playing in this basketball game 100%.
They've done everything they possibly can to rig this in his favor, for him to play, and for the Pelicans to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Now, the question is, what would you have delivered, right? Like, if you were in a bubble for 4 months, what can you not live without? Can you have pets? Like, I know you can't have your family with you.
That's a good question.
But, like, some hotels allow pets. Could I have Boone down there with me? Because that'd be
nice. They say dogs can't contract coronavirus,
right?
Or animals can't contract the virus. So that's a great question, Andy. I'll have to call down to the Orlando bubble and find that out.
Okay, let us know.
Abe Gordon nerd of me wants more TVs, wants more screens.
Multiple screens.
Screens.
Okay, multiple screens. Like, what from home would you have to want delivered?
I would need my my hitting net and my turf golf mat. And I know they can play golf down there, but sometimes it's 11:30 at night and you just want to get some shots in. I got the hitting net in the backyard and the turf mat that you can hit off of, just to make sure you got to keep the tempo right. You stay away from the golf swing for too long, you end up shooting a 55 on the front nine. I speak from experience.
You got a room that's big enough for that, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can get some cuts in. They have nice rooms. The ceilings are high.
I wouldn't mind a golf simulator. Simulator like what Dan Patrick has in his man cave, something like
that'd be good too. I'd love a track man. It'd be so much. That is the when I dream about being filthy rich, having the track man in the back room. You can just go play Pebble Beach anytime, simulated. Yeah, that's on the rich guy dream list.
You know what I wish they would do down in Orlando? Do you guys remember the MTV show Cribs?
Yeah.
What if they did like a Cribs NBA bubble edition?
It's a
like with
great
all of these
idea.
Guys ordering
we're trying
random
to do
stuff
that. Something
and
similar.
What they're ordering, it would be so fun to go to each of their rooms and just to see what their setups are. Because you know those guys didn't keep the hotel rooms looking the way they were when they first got there.
Yeah, hell no. I bet some of those rooms
ordering
are disgusting
a couch
already. Yeah. No, that would be hilarious to see who's got whose room set up in what way. Like, LeBron did a press conference the other night after a game from a throne. Like he,
which is brilliant.
Wow. He got a throne delivered down there somehow, like for the king to do his press conference.
Hold on, I'm going to look on Amazon right now because a lot of these guys obviously ordering from Amazon because it's, I mean, 2-day delivery. Who doesn't order from Amazon? I want to know how much a throne would cost. So I am on Amazon now. Throne.
Yeah.
How does one procure a throne?
I bet you can get the Game of Thrones. $278. $2,000 bucks?
Or if you want one, prime delivery by Sunday, September 13th. Wow, that seems
that's a
like
long time
far away. Way.
That's a long, yeah, it's a long way.
$1,700. Amazon, no, we want a faster throne delivery.
Why do I feel like that's
there's so
cheap
many
for a throne?
Guys on Amazon.
Why do I feel like that's cheap for a throne? I feel like a throne would be more money.
There's a $3,300 option, guys. That'll get delivered here on Monday.
Hold the trigger. I think it's time. It's time Wendy has a throne.
The Wendy throne.
Let me grab that extra $3,300 out of my pocket, and I'll order a throne just like LeBron James, but I'll sit here and do the show.
Hey, if Patrick Mahomes can buy the Royals, Wendy can buy a throne.
Yeah, with this massive contract I have.
Right?
Maybe I need Patrick Mahomes' agent. By the way, the players are obviously bored trying to figure out things to do, and as guys, I know you guys come up with all sorts of competitions. So they've been doing, obviously, like golf competitions, bowling competitions, and now there's a one like a bubble swim championship competition where guys are just doing random swim activities to see who wins.
I would watch that on social
media.
Like a
cannonball.
Yeah, like if they're having like a little mini pool Olympics. To
battle
all
the bubble stars? Is that what it is?
I would watch that. I mean, at least for a minute on social media. That's essentially what we had 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Remember? Like, that was what we had. When we watched Trae Young play horse in his driveway,
horse,
like, that's essentially what we were doing 3 months ago. And again, here we are. The NBA is back tonight. They're playing games that actually count. The Braves play tonight. The NFL players are reporting. Like, we made it through the horse
guys.
Competitions and the video game competitions.
Oh, don't forget marbles.
Marbles, you name it.
The cornhole.
Back. The one thing that was awesome was Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning playing golf. That was actually really cool.
Yeah, that was
what was
cool,
awesome was Tom Brady ripping his pants. That was awesome.
It was. It was. And then making up a weird slang trash talk to Charles Barkley. That was all weird. Anyway, thank you, Wendy. We'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the noon hour. We've got some Vic Beasley news as well. Little minor Vic Beasley news. Not major, but it is news. We'll get to it coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.